You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
You are not enough. I'm so disappointed in you. You can try harder, you can do better, you can do more. You are alone and no one cares. These are words that I've been told in my life. And the thing is, words build worlds. Words stack on one another like bricks in a building, forming stories that we tell ourselves that are foundational to the ways that we live our lives. You've been told some words too. Some worlds have been built for you. Now, your words might be different than mine. The worlds that have been built for you might be slightly different. I've been told most of my life I'm too small. I doubt Joe Bruner's ever been told that, right? But even though your words and your stories, the worlds built for you, might be a little bit different than mine, most of us have heard a similar story, that you're not enough and that you can always do more. And so we kind of wonder if God's just disappointed with us. And we kind of wonder if God's waiting for us to make mistakes. And we feel like we have to be perfect. We have to have everything together. We've got to do it all right. And the thing is, we all, at some point in our lives, recognize that we actually aren't perfect and we can't do it right. And so we live in some shame and we start to cover up and try to hide some of the brokenness of our lives. We tell ourselves this story that we're not enough. I wonder if there's another story, though, maybe right in front of us that sometimes we miss. A set of words that build a different world. This guy named Paul, he wrote this letter to his friends in the city called Ephesus. The thing about Ephesus is their values in terms of their culture are actually quite a bit like ours in our world today. And he says this set of words. I want you to hear this. He says this: "For God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. In him, in his love, he chose us in Christ Jesus to be adopted as his children. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." Another set of words, a different world. A set of words that tell us, stay with me, that we are created by God out of love. That God loves you, chose you in love from the beginning. That we are created by God for love. Just like we inhabit, people inhabit a house, we are created in us to be inhabited by God's love. We are created by God to love, not out of scarcity, but out of abundance. This is a different set of words, a different world. But the thing is, for most of us, we struggle to believe it, at least for ourselves. And so we continue to return to these other words that tell us that we're not enough and that we're a disappointment. And then, of course, life happens, right? You guys know this. Suffering comes. We get the phone call and someone that we love has cancer. Or maybe our parent lost a job. Or maybe we didn't pass that test that was really important. Or we didn't pass that class that we thought we should. Or maybe we didn't get that position that we'd been preparing for. And things don't go the way that we think they should, even though it feels like we're doing all the right things. And so we wonder if God's just disappointed in us. In fact, sometimes maybe if we're honest, we wonder if God's even there at all. We wonder if God's even real. And so we try harder. We bear down. We do more. We work harder. We try to control more. And we hear this story that more is better. More money, more power, more influence, more stuff is more valuable. And so we try to live into this life where we're trying to work, 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 and achieve, and achieve, and achieve, and achieve. And it's more, 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 more. And at some point, whether we really are honest with ourselves or not, but at some point in our life, we come face to face with the reality that we just simply don't have the solution for this. And in fact, sometimes, if we're honest, the worst thing that can happen is that we actually get everything we want. Our dreams come true. And then we also realize that even in those moments, that's not enough. And so at some point we realize we don't have the solution for all of this. We can never do enough. But there's this other story that we tell this week as Christians that says something different. It starts with this, that God chose you. God chose us all out of his great love for us. He came to us in his son, Jesus Christ, out of love. We didn't have to do anything for this. Because he loved us, he came to us in his son, Jesus. And in his son, Jesus, who lived, he was fully divine, but he lived fully human. And that means he understands what it's like when you go through the things that you go through. The brokenness, the tears, the struggles, the betrayals, the crushed hopes. God understands all of these things. And if we're honest, some of these things are done to us, and some of these things, if we're really honest, are done by us. And our biggest fear is that other people will actually discover our brokenness. People will know the depths of all the things that are in our hearts and in our heads, all the things that we've done or wanted to do. And the thing is, we know that if people actually knew all that stuff, they would run so far from us. And we carry that around. But here's the thing. We serve a God, stay with me, we serve a God who knows all of your brokenness and all of your stuff and doesn't run from it. Instead, he runs into it. He runs into your deepest depth of your brokenness. And what we remember this week, on Thursday, we celebrate, we remember the Last Supper, this time Jesus had with his closest friends. And just imagine maybe with me for a second what it would have been of like to know that at that very table, around that very, in that very room with the very people you love, that they, one of them is going to betray you. And the rest of them are going to leave you and abandon you in the time of your greatest need. But yet Jesus still loves and steps into that in service. Jesus understands what it's like to be betrayed. He understands what it's like to be turned away from. He understands what it's like to be alone. And most of us, if we actually take that time and get away from distractions, maybe for you that's late at night when nobody else is really around, or maybe it's when you're riding in your car or by yourself, or whatever, whenever it might come. But oftentimes we have these glimpses where we actually face our realities of who we really are and the depths of our brokenness, and we feel alone. And you're right. Nobody else in this room, and actually nobody else on this planet, really understands what it's like for you. Because they're not you and they haven't gone through what you go through. They don't know your emotions and your thoughts and your feelings. But, stay with me, Jesus does. He is the only one who can enter into all of that brokenness, because he has on the cross, what we remember in Good Friday, is that he has stepped into the deepest depths of your brokenness. He understands what it's like to be broken. He understands what it's like to be betrayed. He understands what it's like to be broke and broken. He understands what it's like to be alone in ways that no one else can. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we're willing in the midst of our brokenness to face our reality, what we will find is that Jesus is there. What we also remember this week on Sunday is that he doesn't stay dead. Amen? Right? He has victory. He wins over the depths of our brokenness. He wins over all of those things. He is risen from the dead. And all of that brokenness that you carry around with you, he has victory over. You don't have to live in slavery or fear to any of those things. You can live in freedom to those things because he has risen from the dead. In fact, what he does is not only does he win, he takes the shattered shards of our broken relationships and broken lives, and he redeems those things and he puts them back together. He makes them whole and he makes them beautiful again. And what we remember this week is a God who loves us enough to enter into our brokenness and bring victory. This is good news. So whether you've heard this one time or maybe you feel like you've heard it 100 times, in just a minute we're going to have an opportunity to take communion together. And as we do, I just want you to catch this imagery that we break the bread, right? That we tear it. We remember it's a broken body. And we take the cup. We dip the bread in the juice that represents Jesus' blood for us. That God in his love has stepped into our brokenness. But then we take it. We ingest it. And part of what we're doing is in that moment we're saying, God, I want your love to inhabit me, to bring freedom to me. This is the story we live into. Will you pray with me? God, you are so good. We thank you for this opportunity to worship together, but also to take communion together. I pray that in the midst of it, you would remind us that you love us so much. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody said,